Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And welcome back to another episode of Asian Not Asian Podcast, the podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
We're coming at you live from somewhere in the U.S. I cannot say today for... various reasons, but if you were listening to this on your phones right now, please take a screenshot and post it on Instagram stories, tag us at asian.asianpod. We'd love to freaking hear from you, and if you do it, we'll retweet it and then you will be famous. Also
nice.
I guess we're still looking for a video editor, so yeah. Guys, if you're a video editor, and please don't email us if you're like an amateur, okay? I'm not trying to be a dick. We need somebody who is as good at video editing as we are at comedy. And what I mean by that is Mike and I, hey, we're not Kevin Hart's. We don't got Netflix specials. But we're prepared. We could do it tomorrow if they asked us. And that's the kind of guy we need.
Call me up, Kevin Hart.
somebody who's serious. So don't email us if you're not serious. But if you're serious, please email us. We'd love to hear from you. Anyways, how's it going there, Mike? I saw you the other day in person.
Yeah, that's weird.
And it was the first time in like, since like August, maybe?
Yeah.
How'd you feel about that?
You know what it is? I was going to say, I was like, your outfit is on point. And I was like, I have nothing left to teach you. and then I just ascend into heaven, you know, and just like teleport.
My job here is done.
Yeah, like the Buddha riding on a dragon, as they say.
Yeah, the yellow peril.
Yeah,
Mike is, he's not really in this for comedy or podcast. He's really just a fashion consultant that
one
my mom hired.
One person at a time. And it took me 6 years to teach you
how to
wear pants that fit and sneakers that are on point.
Honestly, I'm not joking. It took you 6 years to convince me skinny jeans aren't cool anymore.
You can wear something besides a backpack to hold all your crap, you dork.
Oh my god. That's, you know what's so funny? I stopped wearing my backpack and
I know
people are always like, there's something different about you.
It's just
me not wearing a backpack.
You have a crossbody bag and people are like, your dick's bigger, huh? Like, yeah. Something's different. Really.
Oh boy. Well, before we get into it, today's gonna be just the two of us. It's gonna be just the boys. It's gonna get intense. It's gonna get intimate. It's gonna get all naughty. But before we get into it, we want to do our shout outs for our Patreon people. So once again, if you join our Patreon at patreon.com/asian.asianpod and you give us some money on a monthly basis, we'll give you a shout out and try to guess your ethnicity by our last name. So here we go. The newest subscribers are, obviously, we gotta give our shout out to our producer who donates $50 a month, Ryan Kags. Always
Ryan.
Happy to see your face or
Thank
your name
you,
on
Ryan.
Here.
Yep.
Thank you, Ryan. Then we got Judy Lee, L-E-I.
Lee? Is it Lee or Lei?
I don't know. Lei. L-E-I. Lei.
Chinese.
That's Chinese.
Shout.
That's Chinese. Okay, then we got, this one's wild, Dorj, D-O-R-J, Bayartogtok. B-A-Y-A-R-T-O-G-T.
This guy's got a name like a Mongolian sword. Okay, that's a sick
dude.
Name. This guy's a Mongolian sword. Okay,
100%. If there was a Mongolian character in Street Fighter, his name would be Dorj Bayartogtok.
Dorj, you've selected
100%.
Dorj. Hell yeah, dude. Use that secret art.
Hell yeah. I think we have like 3 Mongolian fans. So thank you for joining.
Yeah, I love that.
Then we got Charlotte Dibb. D-I-B-B.
That's a good old classic American. This girl works at an ice cream shop in the Midwest, dude. You know? Simple. Charlotte Dibb.
That's a simple. She goes to church on Sundays.
She goes to church. You know what? Call me Darlie. You know? That's what everybody else calls me, Darlie.
All right. Then we got Carl Lucero. L-U-C-E-R-O.
Lucero. I want to say Filipino because it has a kind of a Latin-y sound, but I don't know. Because Carl, that's an unusual name for
maybe
Filipino.
Like, isn't like, it could be Greek, maybe? Lucero?
Maybe. Yeah, something.
That's sick.
You know, some sort of Middle East, Mediterranean
name. This guy, this guy messaged us. He was getting all antsy. He's like, yo, where's my shout out? I donated on March 18th. And I'm like, all right.
Yo, chill, you're being buddy. It takes a while for thirsty, the money to get to our Swiss bank account, okay? Yeah.
Okay, next we got James. Just James. You know what? This is a fucking Chinese-ass name. I know a lot of Chinese James. It's a Chinese.
It's good old James.
Honestly, I'm not even joking right now. There might be more Chinese James in this world than white James.
Oh, shit. Yo, yeah, that's so right. You know, I mean, that's the thing about China with the scale, the economies of scale. If like 1% of Chinese dudes were named James, that's more James than all the white James combined. Then, this is like, yo, dude, that's sick. You know,
that's
I would love that.
China, yeah, they can take things away from American culture by just doing it.
And just, that's our name now. That's our name, James from China. Okay. Shouts.
James from China. Then we got Judy Tan, T-A-N.
Taiwanese.
Then we got Layla Souza. This is she's Layla from Brazil. She always
Layla
comes
from Brazil,
shows.
Brazil.
Yeah. Now she's giving us money.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you everybody so much for your donation. And if you want to get on it, just go to patreon.com/asian.asianpod and we will try to guess your ethnicity on air. Today's theme, you know what? I forgot to even fucking write it down today. I don't even know what the theme is today. It's complicated. Today's gonna be a complicated episode.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I think is Asian being mad complicated, Asian or not Asian, you know?
Exactly. Why does everything have to be so complicated? Avril Lavigne said that, but also so did I, an Asian American. I want to start here, okay? And I, listen, anals, Asian, not Asian listeners. You know that there's a lot of Asian American podcasts out there, but you know that when you come to Asian, not Asian, you're just going to get something a little different. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're not going to hear the things you hear on CNN on Asian, not Asian. Okay.
No way. Bro.
You're not going to hear the same opinions you read on The Atlantic on Asian, not Asian.
It gets a little
complicated here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because Mike and I were just, we're always confused and we're always coming at you from an angle of, am I allowed to feel this way? I guess is sort of how I've been feeling. Yeah. So today is March 29th. It's been a little over a week since, or maybe, I don't know if I can know, 2 weeks. I can't even, there's no time anymore, but it's been a couple of weeks since, you know, the terrible mass murder shooting in Atlanta.
And last week there was, not this past Sunday, not yesterday, the previous Sunday, there was a rally in Chinatown, stop Asian violence, and a lot of people were there. That's where Fumi and I saw each other for the first time in a long time.
Yeah,
and it was, you know, it was cool to be there. And you know, there's been a lot of kind of like outpourings. There's been a lot of people working through their feelings, and I think that's what we want to talk about. You know,
absolutely working through our feelings, and you know, that rally was, first of all, really cool because it was like the first time I've been to an Asian American rally. And I think maybe for you, and I think for a lot of people, and it was very emotional and people were very passionate, and I was moved by some of the speakers. Andrew Yang was there. Some people were upset about that, but you know, that's just how it is in New York sometimes. But people were yelling defund the police when he got on stage. So anyways, that's where we were united but also divided. But anyways, I was just kind of observing everybody's reactions, and you know, throughout the week at the event. And you know, recently I was listening to I think I'm allowed to say it, There Are Friends. I was listening to an episode of Feeling Asian. There Are Friends, Brian Park and Young Me.
Yep, shout to them.
And they had this like really raw, emotional episode about you know, their reaction to the shooting. And actually I think they might have recorded it like day of or day after or something, I think. And you know, they were talking about how they couldn't sleep. A couple of times throughout the episode they were crying, you know, bawling, really angry at certain points. I think Young Me or Brian, where they're like, I'm so angry I can't even look at anything right now, you know. Real raw emotions. And I think a lot of people identify with that. And just to add to that, I also saw a lot of stuff on Instagram that week of like fucking people writing poems, people like, I don't know, just like posting a lot of Instagram like live stories and just going off like really angry. And that's awesome that we're expressing ourselves. And you know, of course, I was very sad by the news, and you know, I had to write something for work, and that was a weird experience for me because I had never done anything like that before. And but as I was consuming all this stuff, I just couldn't stop wondering. And again, I'm trying to be real with you guys, okay?
Yep.
please don't get mad that I feel this way, but this is just how I feel, and I want to break it down.
Yep.
I was sad, but I couldn't cry. I just felt like I wasn't as angry as the people I was seeing on Instagram or the people I'm hearing on these podcasts. You know, these people are crying, and I don't know. I was trying to figure out why. You know, is it because I have a couple of theories as to why it is. But, you know, first I was like, is it because they're Korean and I'm not Korean? But I'm like, that can't be it, because these women could have been fucking anybody else. They could have been Chinese. They could have been Filipino. They could have been Japanese. Like, it, no, it really doesn't matter what kind of Asian American they were, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, I think the two things, here are my two theories, and I want to kind of hear your reaction on it.
Yep.
Is theory number one is, as Asian Americans, class is a huge thing. There's a whole misconception in America that Asians have money because of people like me and you and our parents and Brian's parents. You know, but like, you know what I mean? Like
middle class at least, right? That we're like
middle
educated.
Class. Also,
yeah.
You go to an Ivy League school. You go to a school like Berkeley or NYU. Who do you see? Rich ass Asian kids, right?
Right.
And so there's this conception that misconception that a lot of Asian kids are like that, but if you look at the research, a lot of Asian Americans are in poverty, you know?
Yes. One of the largest in New York City is Asian. I mean, I think it's either Asian Americans are actually, you know, the highest proportion of poverty it's very surprising from what you what you would say. And I don't know exactly the statistic, but it's a lot of Asian Americans live below the poverty line. Yes, that's right.
For sure. And you know, I'm not trying to compare that to what the difference is like for Black people or Hispanic people, but for Asian people, I know that difference is big. And because of that, sometimes I read stuff like this, and of course I'm sad, but at the same time I go like, I mean, who am I trying to pretend like I know what it's like
to be
them? I'm a college educated middle class dude. Like, I didn't you know, my dad's an engineer. I took swimming lessons. I got everything I wanted when I was a kid. Like, I wasn't like rich, you know. My dad didn't buy me like a Mercedes, but like, you know, like, you and I we're fucking comedian podcasters, you know.
Right.
And
what do we have in common with?
And it's like, why? Yeah. Like, I can't sit here and try to relate to this lady who like had to fucking give hand jobs to support her family. That's crazy, you know.
Well,
and like,
we don't know if they're giving people hand jobs. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, I don't know. There's a spa, right? I don't fucking know. But like, that's not the point. Whatever. Maybe she was just giving massages. Same thing. It doesn't matter. Maybe she's the fucking woman who was giving people massages.
She's working. You know, they're working class people. They do this. They're working a lot. And yeah, I see what you're saying. We're very different from them. You know, we're comedians. We work in media.
I mean, do you feel that way when you like walk by a Vietnamese nail salon, and do you ever think like, do you feel like your world's apart even though you're the same ethnicity? Does that make sense?
Well, like, first I do want to say, I do want to kind of like get into it just a little bit, like, so what are the feelings you would say you have? And even if they are, I don't have feelings, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
because I do want to understand that.
Yeah, I think it's just a lot of disappointment and I'm embarrassed to say, even a little bit, like, here's what I think it is. You one time eloquently said on this podcast that a microaggression is like a rock in a shoe.
Right.
Do you remember saying that, like, episode four or something?
Yeah, yeah.
I think about that a lot. And when things like this happen and I don't have a really intense reaction, I often wonder, is it because I have so many rocks in my shoe that my foot is bleeding and I can't feel anything anymore?
Yeah.
Like, the bottom layer of my foot is gone. You know, it's just a lot of different things have happened to me throughout my life, and on TV and you know, just things I've seen on the news that happen to Asian people. And now finally, when something like big happens, I don't know sometimes how to. Or like, I just get a little sad that I can't be as sad as other people.
Well, I think you know, you said a bunch of stuff about
hot take.
You got
hot
a lot. You said a lot of things, and a lot of things I want to think about. That's been our show, everybody. No, I want to. There's a lot. you know, the of like reactions to this, you know, to the obviously the violence in Georgia, but then, you know, all the 1900% increase in hate, and I've seen all sorts of comments and hot takes on it and things like that. And, you know, I've also had that conversation with different people, and you know, we had the conversation before about like, are people checking in on you, and
yeah,
and you don't know what to say back to them, and then you're also kind of like, well, I guess I'm outraged, you know, and all these things. And there's like an extra special thing about, because we're Asian, that like we need to also be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a couple of things. First of all, how you react to something is valid. How it's just how it is. You don't always have to do, you can react all different kinds of ways. And I think the way Brian and Young Me reacted, that's very on brand for them to react in that way. You know, and that's why they have their podcast. And if you kind of think about it, the way that you and I react to something like this is we have reacted to it a long time ago. We reacted to it by starting comedy. And we have a fucking podcast called Asian Not Asian. And all, you know, and we reacted to racism by doing this, you know what I'm saying? By doing comedy, starting this podcast, making stupid tweets, writing stupid things, doing all this stuff. This is our jam. Also, quick side note, Fumi, I know you're a crier, okay? I've seen you cry at, we went to go see Always Be My Maybe. And we were in this really, it was you, me and Gina, we were hanging out in this really nice theater in the before times, beautiful theater, huge seats and stuff like that. Credits come on and it's like bumping awesome like 90s hip hop music. And I was like, yeah, this is gonna be so much fun. Look over at you and you're just like, this is so beautiful.
It was like 2 minutes in.
2 minutes in, nothing sad happened. Little Asian kids were on there. And you're just like, it's so amazing. They're on screen, you know, it was great. And like, you cry at that. And you don't cry at this thing. And that's not because you don't have feelings about it. And it's because you're just reacting to, you know, how are you supposed to react to something like this?
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
almost like it's so obviously terrible, you know? And it's so, and at the same time, it's also just like, you know, imagine you've been telling people you have this rock in your shoe this whole time and it's cutting up my foot and I'm bleeding and I really need help. Can someone help me? And people are like, dude, don't worry about it. It's just a rock in your shoe. Don't worry, it's just a small cut. Walk it off. We're just joking. Don't cause trouble. Don't bring that up. You know, I was just kidding around with that rock in your shoe. And it just goes on for years, pretty much your whole life. And then finally, something pretty much one of the worst things that could ever happen happens. And then people go, hey, man, how are you doing? Why the fuck?
Yeah.
Dude, I've been trying to tell you about this for years. And now when something is so terrible happens, now you're going to come and talk to me and now you ask me how I feel. I feel terrible. You know?
Yeah.
I feel terrible, of course. And I always think it shouldn't be on the burden of people who are, you know, it shouldn't be, but it is. It falls on us to, even though we're the ones who are like suffering the hate crimes, that we have to do all the other stuff too. We have to explain what racism to Asian people are. We have to sit there and give you a fucking reading list. We have to tell you, like, check it out on Wikipedia. We have to tell you all the stuff. We have to say all these things. We have to have an opinion about it. You know, why do we have to have an opinion about it? Of course it happened, and it's terrible. Why don't you have an opinion about it? You know, I was on this other show, and, you know, unfortunately, there was another mass shooting. You don't have to ask white people, you know, how was the mass shooting? Course, it's terrible. You don't have to, you know, it's a terrible thing. And you know, to expect that people should have like some sort of like prepackaged response that'll be all clean, you know, is even more work for us people of color to do. You know, like I can imagine, like, if let's say you check on with someone after something terrible happens and they just regurgitate everything that's ever happened to them, which is totally possible, you know, like we could totally just do that. Then what? Oh, hey, thanks, buddy. Cool. I just wanted to check in, buddy. It was still on for Saturday. You know, it's it's too much, you know? And I think that's why a lot of times we don't have what we would say, like, oh, I don't have a reaction to something like this. Because it's too big. It's too big to wrap my head around. You know, how do you feel about famine? It's bad. You know, what do you want me to say? Yeah. You know, it's too big. I'm just one person. And to your point, you know, sometimes we feel like, you know, there's things happening to other people and you don't know how to relate to it necessarily, you know, because, you know, we, you know, they're in like another class. Maybe they're like another kind of Asian person. And that's something I think we're like, as Asian people, we're kind of like working to understand. We're trying to work on that solidarity thing. But, at the same time, it's like, we have a hard time like seeing ourselves. What am I trying to say? I guess really it does come down to, you know, this problem is too big. I'm trying to deal with my problems too, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you're asking me about this horrible thing. I don't know if I have an opinion about that, because that's kind of like, it's part of the giant, huge problem we all have. And I've been focusing on my thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, again, your way to react to it is completely valid. Like, it's totally reasonable to not feel anything because you've been feeling shit for 20, 30 years, you know?
Right, right. Man, did you watch that thing Bo and Yang did on SNL?
Yes. It's okay, so, yes. Okay, yes.
No, go ahead.
So, I thought it was awesome. But here's the thing. How much of a burden is that for him to do? You know?
Dude, that's what I was going to bring up.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I think he wrote it with...
Yeah.
I think he wrote it with Celeste.
Celeste, yes.
Him.
Who is one of the first Asian American writers. She's Canadian, I think. She's a writer.
I think they is the pronoun, but
they.
Yes.
Okay. They're one of the first comedians on SNL of Asian descent. But just imagine being that. And you had to do, I don't know if we can talk about it. You also had to do something.
No, we can. Yeah, I mean, I think...
Dude.
You know, it was a lot. I mean, I had to... They asked this other, you know, I worked for a TV show and they had asked this other Asian comedian to write something. And then he tapped into me. And then we both sat there. And then, I mean, this was like, I don't know, not even 24 hours after it happened. Yeah. And
it's
like,
just...
I don't know. I don't know, man.
It's too big, you know, and how much pressure is to be on you and on Bowen. And Bowen did a great job, and Bowen's so funny. But like, is this a funny topic? Okay, so
yes.
So now we have to be funny. We have to be concise. We have to get into a little bit. We have to have it be accurate, you know?
And on brand with SNL
and capture a bunch of emotions. Like everything from people who are like, numb to people who are enraged. It's impossible to do, right? It's just too much to do. And I think, you know, Bowen did his thing. He had to do his thing and he crushed it. But like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just the biggest ask in the world. Here you go. You know?
Yes. And I think that's what I meant earlier by like feeling a little distant from these women, you know, who got killed, because it's like, I mean, I feel close to them in a way that we're all Asian Americans, we're all hustling.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But when they asked me to write this thing, that's when I really looked into myself and I said, who the fuck am I to pretend like I know what it's like to be them?
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
And that's the only thing that was in my head. Like, this is such a sad thing, but I'm not going to fucking pretend like I know what it's like to fucking feed kids working at a massage parlor and work for minimum wage. Like, that made me angry. It's like, I'm just the fucking... I'm just a fucking Japanese guy. I'm a salary man. I don't fucking know.
You're a comedy salary man, dude. And to your point, you raised a great point as far as, you know, ultimately, we don't hear the voices of these people often. And when I say these people, I mean people who are like Asian women work in the working class. You know, these I said in another show, but these people... For in society are non-people, you know. Like your nail tech, your nail salon tech or whatever. You don't look at these people in the eye. You know what I'm saying? They're just hands. that do stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's like, that's, I will say that, like, I agree with you. I feel like I was like kind of distant from this because, you know, how do I grapple with this as like a dude who is a comedian? But I did feel like, oh, you know, they're invisible. And that's like the worst thing. You didn't see them before and now they're dead. And now you kind of see them, which is just the worst thing. I just can't even say a worse sentence. It's like,
right.
So, you know, we still haven't heard from them. We'll never hear from them in person again, ever again. And
God,
you know,
that's so sad.
Yeah.
We'll never hear from them.
We'll never hear from them again. And now we have to hear from all these other assholes. But, you know, that's the thing. We don't hear from these workers. We still haven't actually heard from other people who work in these things. You know, they ask people like us who we try our best, you know, but
yeah, why haven't they done that?
That's what I'm saying.
Why are they asking us? Why don't they go talk to somebody who has that kind of job and then maybe they can shed light on some of the problems that exist? You know, I don't fucking know.
That's the whole thing. Yeah. These are people who are voiceless. They don't, you know, you don't think about them. They don't appear in movies or whatever, except as like literally props. So that's, you know, that kind of speaks to like the world we're in, you know, like we're in this place where we all feel terrible, but our reactions are not dealing with the problem, you know, which is, you know, of course, racism, sexism and all this other stuff, you know, so it goes on and we hear from it from like some Twitter pundit and we hear about it from stupid podcast comedians and we don't hear it from other people.
Your hair and skin are unique, but finding the men's personal care products that works for you can be like searching for a needle in a haystack. With Hawthorne, all you have to do is take a short quiz to look, feel, and smell at your best. Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile. First, you take the quiz. They ask me things like what kind of drinks I like, what kind of clothes I wear, and it's actually really fun and quick and easy. And at the end, I get an essential bundle with all the products tailored to my body type and lifestyle. The products I got are like shampoo, deodorant. I don't even wear deodorant, but they sent it to me and I smell amazing. Hawthorne takes the risk out of shopping for personal care by giving you free shipping on your order and returns. If you don't like your products, they'll even retailer them for you based on your feedback. With high quality self-care products tailored specifically to your needs from Hawthorne, looking your best has never been easier. Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine by going to hawthorne.co and use promo code NOTASIAN to get 10% off your first purchase. That's HAWTHORNE.co, promo code not Asian. Hawthorne.co, promo code not Asian.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's that makes me feel a little better because obviously this is about me. But
well, that's So, to your point, you know, it's like, you know, now again, you're feeling pressure to feel like a certain way, and that's just like even more shit. And I don't buy into that shit.
Yeah,
man,
that's just
know?
Like that's like another thing I have to worry about. And I'm like, okay, why can't I just be sad? Why do I have to feel bad that I didn't make a TikTok dancing and crying at the, you know what I mean?
So TikTok. So you know, like the other day I watched Minari. You know, my brother had rented it, and he was like, you can check it out. And I was like, okay, cool. So I watched it. And I knew I wanted to watch it, but for the same reasons why it was so good is the same reasons why I didn't want to watch it. Because it was 90 minutes of feeling what you're kind of describing, like as far as like the feelings you're repressing, you know?
Yeah.
You know what movies I always watch at night after I get off of a Zoom show or I'm done talking to you and I'm done with my day job? I watch Marvel movies. Because they're so
me too.
They're so easy to watch, and the good guy wins, and innocent people don't die. And you hear like, you know, there's if somebody's a dick, then Captain America comes in and Hulk smashes them and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but you watch Minari, and it's just 90 minutes of remember the horrible pain you suffered when all through your childhood. Remember that for 90 minutes, and it was just it was Ratatouille flashback after Ratatouille flashback of just like. Little things happening, and it's such a good movie because it has to do a lot with these characters, but it's not racism. I mean, they experience racism, like these kind of what we would call microaggressions, but a lot of the problem is just like, you know, they're just a struggling family. You know, they have a dream and they have like they have all their flaws with them. They have all their things, and it's just like reminding me so much of like all the shit that I you know, even though, again, they're Korean and they grew up in Alabama, like I so identify with all this. So right. It's like all these feelings are there. You know, I've put a veneer of polo sport clothing over it so that I don't have to feel those things. And then I watch Marvel, you know, and I watch Winter Soldier and I'm like, yes, this is what I don't want to look underneath the polo sport because there's. And then Minari made me see it. And I was like, oh, it was like 90 minutes of just like, it's just like, oh, it's just, it's so good. And and, you know, and to your point, it's like there's a deep well of feeling that I don't want to have to get into that.
I haven't watched it yet, which I'm going to do tonight, I think. But I did hear from a lot of my friends that Asian friends that they called it. I think they call it like oppression porn. Have you heard of that term?
I see what you're saying.
It's oppression term is like it's often used to describe like slave movies where it's just like it's like look how terrible it was to be a slave and it's like yeah we fucking know but it's like but it's like oh it's an amazing movie because it captured how terrible it was to be a slave
yeah
it's like you don't need to capture that for me like you know like it's already been captured I understand
I got
know,
it but, I don't need the video yeah exactly
yeah
no yeah but you know how like, bad it is but I liked what about this though is that it's not like with Minari, it's not like bad things happen to them because of their color necessarily or because of it's just a hard life, you know? So it's not like sensationalized. It's not like all these things happened and then like the Klan comes in and you know, burns their house down. You know, it's the choices they make and like it's just the fact that they're by themselves, they don't have resources, they're poor, and you know, they have all these things they want to do, and you know, it's all the stress they have. So it's like, that's really what it was so good about it, and why I think anyone should be able to watch it, except rich people. Rich people won't get it. Rich people will be like, what are you talking about? Life is not like this hard. Just ask your dad for money, and it'll be fine. That's, you know, everybody else in the whole world, Asian or not, will be like, oh yes, this is I feel what's happening here. And I think especially, even if you're like an Asian person who, you know, is well off or whatever, you know, you're going to be able to get something out of the movie because it's really about just like, you know, this, just taking everything you know, and then like being completely somewhere else. And like,
yeah, it's interesting what you said about how it's not sensationalized because, I mean, I haven't seen the movie, but that has to be the best way to describe the Asian American experience because it's usually it's 90% of the time it's never a Klansman knocking on your door, right? Yeah. It's not somebody burning a cross on your front yard. It's this like it's the everyday shitness that just kind of like can get overlooked.
Yep.
And that's just what it feels like to be Asian American. It's not easy to identify because I'm not necessarily being hung. I mean, I know that Chinese people got hung at some point in America. Yes. I know that. But yes. You know what I mean? Today, right. It's just not...
Right.
It's not flashy. And that's such a terrible fucking word to use on racism because I'm not saying that the way they murder other people
is swaggy. It's not a swaggy racism.
It's got what is it called? The spaz or whatever.
It's not jazz hands racism.
It's not jazz hands.
Yeah. Hey, get out of our country, Sparkle.
Yeah.
Ah. Ooh. Ah, ooh. Cha, cha, cha. Get out of
this
here.
This is terrible.
Get out of our country.
Right. It's not like that.
No, it is. It's not jazz. I was thinking about how much, you know, we had talked about it before about, you know, we had this 1900% increase in racism. And I think you and I, we had talked about how we had found that hard to believe, not because we didn't think it was real, but because it was like, it's been happening for so long. Now that people are acknowledging it, it doesn't feel real, I guess. And I watched this like... you know, some YouTube thing, you know, it was from like some TV show and it was like talking about how Asian people have been dealing with this for so long. And they showed a bunch of movie clips, right? Of like all these, you know, racist things, like, you know, the, you know, Long Duck Dong and shit happening in action movies and shit like that. And I realized that this is just something we just dealt with. We're just like how many open mics have we been to where racist stuff happens? Almost every
all
single one.
All of them.
Pretty much.
Sometimes it's not for us, but it's racism, all of them. Yeah.
Yes.
It still sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like it just happens again and again and again and again. And that's, you know, to your point, it's like this slow thing where you almost feel like it gets to the point where you're not sure what's being real, what's real or not, you know, because people keep saying that you don't have, it's not real. This is just you having thin skin or something. And you're just like, oh, maybe so. And so whenever something racist happens in a movie, you're just like, well, that's just the racist joke for you. You know, you're just going to have to deal with it and just kind of move on. Nothing to see here, you know?
Yeah. That's interesting. The line between reality and a joke doesn't even exist. Because people keep saying it's a joke.
It's a joke, right.
But it seems like it's a joke every time. You know?
Right, exactly.
Even when they killed those Asian people, it was an addiction, right? It was like it wasn't racism.
Well, yes,
you know. I don't think he wasn't like joking, but like, you know, whatever excuse he made, again, it was like it was like it wasn't. It's not real. It's not racism.
It's not race, bro. It hasn't been race. Yeah, it's crazy.
I often wonder about the relationship I have with racism because it just happened so much when I was younger. And
so much.
I had to really sit down with myself the other day after we had this, you know, we had the Patreon hangout?
Yes, yeah.
We have a Patreon hangout, by the way, guys, if you want to join. Check out
patreon.com/asiannotasianpod.
But we usually play this game where we like show old pictures of ourselves, and then it's usually a good time. But last month, I like ran out of pictures. So I decided to just put some like Facebook statuses up.
Oh yes, that's right.
Things people wrote on my Facebook wall when I was in high school, 2006 to 2008, and I just thought they were like funny or like nostalgic or something. But I put it up, and like people didn't find it funny. They were like, "Oh no, this is really just racist,
this
man."
Is people being racist to you, yeah.
People are like. So I go to Japan every summer, and there was a kid who wrote on my wall, "How's the yellow country?" And I just thought that was country. Funny, so I put it up, and then. After it, when nobody found it funny, I was just like thinking about, do I have a, because it's like the poison I've been fed for so long, do I have like a weird affinity towards, not affinity, but like, am I like dependent on it or something?
Right.
Or like, am I in love with it or something? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It was a weird night for me. I was just like, oh, I thought that was going to go differently. But then everybody else was like, what's happening? This is not funny. Yeah. You know?
You know, I mean, you know, to bring up again with Minari, that there's a couple of scenes that happen where they kind of have a little racism. Actually, one thing that's interesting about the movie is in general, the white people in the movie are very nice to them. Mm-hmm. And they're very like one of them really helps him out. And like, you know, he's got like they've got like a white boss at this factory they work at who's very nice to them, and it's like the kids they experience like what we would call a microaggression. So like one of them has this thing where the daughter, this white girl goes up to the daughter. Oh no, wait, hold on here. I want to tell another one. So it's the boy and another boy. You know, a white boy comes up to him and says like, "Hey, how come your face is so flat?" And the Asian kid is just
nice.
Yeah, exactly. The Asian kid is like, oh, you know, it's not. And then they become friends. And he's just like, they just kind of let it go, and they just become friends. And later on, they kind of have this whole thing. And it, you know, brought back all sorts of Ratatouille moments for me. It's a good treatment for racism because it shows kind of like how complex the relationship is, right? Because that is clearly a racist thing to say. That kid, you know, doesn't hate the little boy. It's not like he took the little boy outside and murdered him or something like that. You know, thank God. But you know, that incident is racist. And I think, you know, the things that happen to you, and then it happens to a lot of people, and you know, people of color, is that you'll come across something, and you don't want it to be, you know, this is like not a life or death thing, you know. It's not a jazz hands racism,
where jazz
it's
like hands
where something where something is really crazy and like my life is in danger, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of times racism is really small and like it's just these little things, and I think it's interesting because you can use those times to kind of like win someone to your side, and you can kind of say, hey, you know, don't say that. My face isn't flat. You jerk, you know, something like that. And you can like make a friend out of it almost, right? And
yeah,
and you know, and you've experienced that. You have a lot of friends who've who've said some racist shit to you, and they're your friends. And here's the thing is that you know they're not like that, right? You know right. They're just saying some, you know, in the movie Minari, the white people are just ignorant. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, they're poor in the movie and stuff like that, you know. So, you know, your friends are, that's an ignorant thing to say, you know. And I think you're feeling this thing that, you know, this person is not my enemy, right? They're my friend, if anything. But they do say some shit that you should, you know, hey, come on, buddy. You know, and yeah. I think you know, it's tough to do. And I said at the beginning of the podcast, we have so much work, like people of color have to do so much work. Because now, I don't just have to be friends with this person. I have to kind of like help them not be a racist and be their friend. Now yeah, I have to do way more work. And to
you
your point,
to guide them.
You have to guide them. And to your point, now you have to defend your white friend from all these Asian people at this Patreon. Yeah. And you go, actually, it's okay. Look how much work they made you do. You know?
Yeah, I know.
But it's like, now you got to do all this and also be his friend and, you know, and internalize all these things. And that's what that thing, that's like, that's how unfair racism is. It's like, you got to do all these things. And, you know, I think when we're confronted with stuff like that, it's, you know, unfortunately there's work that has to be done to kind of like offset it, you know, and it's an unfair thing, you know, it's crazy. It's just, it's bizarre. It doesn't make sense, but here we are.
I mean, I brought it up because recently, like, a weird thing happened to me where, you know, because when you say, oh, yeah, now you have to, like, teach your white friends. Well, have you ever tried to teach a white friend? They get mad weird.
Bro.
They get mad weird,
bro.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, now I see your, you know, now I see what's happening. It's never like that, you know? It's a lot of, like, what? Like, weird, awkward, like, you know? Yeah. So recently, like, this female comedian came up to me. She's white, and about a year ago, she made this video with, it wasn't her idea, but a bunch of like, quote unquote, famous comedians who were like kind of right-wingy made this parody song of Kung Fu fighting, but they say Kung Flu fighting, Kung Flu fighting.
Right.
And I guess they were just like, you know, this is when people couldn't really meet up with each other. So everybody was submitting FaceTime, front-facing videos, and somebody stitched it all together. And this girl just got a DM from this like famous comedian, and she was like, can you do this for us? And she's like, yeah. So she sang one line kind of out of context and sent it over, and then this video came out, kind of went viral a little bit in that right wing circle. It's been a year, I don't think people remember it anymore, but some Asian comedians got really mad about it. And then, you know, now with the shooting and everything like that, I think she feels terrible that she did it. And so she came up to me, because I'm Asian, and was like, she was like, hey, I made this Kung Flu video.
Look at this work you got to do. Man, now you got to be a consultant, dude.
Okay, I mean, a consultant. And she was like, I asked the original poster to take it down. And the original poster actually became like a QAnon person. She was like at the fucking Capitol when all that shit went down. She's gone complete cuckoo.
I think I know who you're talking about, but yeah.
Yeah. And that person said, no, I'm not going to take it down. So then this girl was like, well, shit, that's just going to be on the internet forever while I pursue my comedy career. And she was like, what should I do, Fumi?
Right.
And I don't know. Like, I guess because to your point, like, we were kind of friends. And also as a comedian, I know what it's like to be, I don't know, called out or whatever it is. You know, I've had like, I don't think I released that episode, but like, I did have a very bad experience on one college show in front of all Asian people. It was my worst college show experience
ever.
Right,
I remember this.
Nothing like that has ever happened. So now I'm confident enough to know that that was like a weird, you know, outlier thing. You know, but as a comedian, I understood where she was coming from. But as an Asian person, I was like, I don't know. Like, that video probably contributed to this, if I'm being completely honest.
100%.
It went viral. You know, it wasn't like some stupid TikTok that got 100 views. Like, this got like millions of views, I think, you know? So, but I don't know. I just ended up being like, oh, I mean, it's already out there. Like, maybe just prepare a statement if people ask. I don't know if there's much you can do, you know, but I think you'll be fine. I kind of just softened up for her. And then when I left, I was like, I wonder how
my other Asian comedian friends would have reacted. Like, I wonder how you would have reacted. I wonder how young me would have reacted. I wonder how Brian
young me would
reacted.
Have stabbed her in the neck with a switchblade. Okay, she done it in an awesome way and had made a hilarious TikTok out of it. Just like
I'm gonna kill you and go viral.
Yeah, exactly. Look at this extra work. You have nothing to do with this.
I have nothing to do with it.
She's asking, hey, buddy, can you help me out? Hey, you know?
But she was basically asking me to make her feel better, is what she was asking.
That's what I'm saying. Right? She wasn't asking
for the truth.
And now she wants, because the truth is really to own up to it, I guess. Right? And
the truth is, if she wanted the truth, what I should have said is, like, I understand that maybe you didn't know what you were doing at the time.
Right.
But, you know, what you did contributed to the murder of those 6 to 8 women. Yes. That's the truth.
Yeah, there you go. That's the truth.
That is the truth. But is that what she was wanting to hear from me? No.
No, she wanted the fortune cookie, though, dude.
She wanted the fortune cookie.
She turned you into a big-ass fortune cookie. And was just like,
fuck, she
what's
did.
Inside? She what's did. Inside? Also, tell me my lottery, you know? Hey, tell me it's going to be okay.
Big fortune is coming your way. Also, lucky number 13, 11, 17. Bye.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's going to be some weird parable, you know? It's, the strongest horse always goes downwind, you know? Like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean? I don't know, man. You know, I mean, to this person, I don't have advice. I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Fumi did it. You just said it, the truth, right? I don't feel, you know, we've been sort of talking about, you know, how we feel about certain things. I don't feel that as safe anymore, in part because of stuff Trump said, the Kung Flu thing. It's like, it's like out, you know, racism is like a crazy meme, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's out there. And it's just like, you just have to kind of like weather the storm, I guess.
Weather the storm?
I don't know what else to do. What
that
are you,
is so
you know?
Sad.
Well, like,
we're like in raincoats.
We're just wearing raincoats with the racism. So much racism, man, in the clouds. And that's coming from me. You know, like, I am far removed from a lot of things. I have a lot of privilege. You know, I'm a dude. You know, I got all these things. I've been trying to write a joke about it, but, you know, I feel threatened, you know, and that's coming, you know, mm-hmm. So that happened. That's some real shit. I don't know how to handle it from a comedic standpoint or whatever. I don't know. Then whatever, you know, it's kind of crazy. So, I don't know. I don't know. Do you feel sometimes like you should have just told her the truth?
I mean, maybe what I should have said is, like, I'm only telling this because you're, like, a friend, you know?
Mm.
And then drop the truth.
Right.
But then even that, I'm still trying to comfort you.
Yes.
You know? I'm still trying to comfort you. But yes. I'm always trying to comfort everybody.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It's like when people give me racism, I get that shit raw, no condom. But
yes.
when people want some sympathy from me because they were being racist, like, you know, I give them a pillow and the truth. You know? It's like, hey, I do a suplex, but I like make sure they like lie down safely to the ground. You know,
that's such an anime move. It's like, and then like a pillow. At the, wah!
Yeah.
Yo, that's crazy, man. I mean,
I don't
know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Do you know what I'm talking about? But the comfort thing. Do you think that's a me thing? Is that an Asian American thing, or is that
that's a racism thing. Racism.
There's racism in my head.
It does the thing where it's on you now to be a better person, to be a bigger person, you know. You end up defending people who are, oh, they're not so bad, you know.
Right.
You have to.
Right.
You're the one who has to say that. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's
that's not logical.
It's not logical. It doesn't make sense. You know who is it that was? You know, there's a famous quote that was going around. It's like, we're lucky that, you know, black people just want justice.
Yes.
They don't want
It was somebody who was marching wherever the Target thing was happening.
Yeah.
She was crying and she was saying, you know, you're white people, you're lucky, we want equality and not revenge.
Yes, exactly. What's eye for an eye, you know what I'm saying? where we, you know, like we go and kill some people. That doesn't make sense, you know? We don't want that. And, you know, so we're the ones... We're the ones who have to do all the work as far as like we're explaining all these things and advising people and doing all this stuff all the way back to the beginning of this episode about like this is all fell on our shoulders to do all this labor, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we know how rough the truth could be, you know?
Yeah.
How many times have you brought up racism to your friends in a hot tub? Right? How many times have we brought up racism to our friends in a hot tub and they can't even handle a tiny bit of it? You
they
know?
Get a little bit. Just
you understand
bit,
what
you
kind
know?
Of crazy shit I've seen, you know? Like crazy shit that happens to us. And we don't know what tools do we have? What recourse
and I was
do we have?
Like, I was coding it in comedy too. You know, I wasn't just like dropping scientific facts about people being murdered. I was just like, hey, you probably don't date Asian guys, huh? Like, you know, like I said, I like, you know, I jazzed it up for them.
You did.
And then they couldn't even.
You softened up. You put two pillows down. You didn't even suplex them. You like gently laid them down. You know, we don't come back at
them.
Putting
them to sleep. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't come at them with like the real like racism, like colonialism shit. Okay. You know, like, you know, like, remember when America was in Vietnam and killed a million people died in our Vietnam War. Oh, remember, you know, when all these other things happened and, you know, remember slavery and all these other, like, you know, all the crazy shit. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. You know, like.
Yeah. It's the pillow under the racism, man.
It's the pillow under the racism. I think it's totally, natural. Yeah. It's just, this is how it is. Cause we get to see their humanity. You know what I'm saying? We get to see, you know, when somebody's, one of our friends is racist, we know they're not like that. Right. We see their humanity, right? We know you're a human, you make mistakes, you know? But the least we could get is the same in return, you know? Like, see us as a human and don't make that stupid joke. You know, you know? Unless you really want me to go super duper, like, roasting raw on you, you know? And talk about your, you know?
That's such a good point. It's like, we see their humanity, but most of the time they don't see our humanity. And it's this unfair relationship. But for us, I know that it's not right for me to not see them as human. That doesn't feel right to me, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what the answer is. It's probably not on this podcast, but
nope.
I don't.
Definitely not.
I feel like the pillow is good. Maybe they need to give me some pillows, you know?
That's what I'm saying is like, you know, that's the real privilege, right? Is like you get the benefit of the doubt. Other people get the benefit. Racists, really, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, fucking, this is goes all the way back to, you know, sorry, you know, trigger warning for everybody about after the shootings. What did the sheriff say to about the shooter, right? Oh, he had a bad day, right?
Yeah.
He gave him, the shooter, the murderer, the benefit of the doubt, and he saw him as a person, which is what we're all supposed to do.
Right.
But that guy didn't get these people, the victims, weren't seen as people. That's the whole point. That's the whole, and it doesn't make sense. That's the whole thing about race. It doesn't make any fucking sense because even the people who are the killers get the benefit. So that's the whole rate. That's the way racism works.
Right.
So, anyways, that wasn't very fun. Okay, there is one nice thing. So I was out. I've been saying like, you know, I don't feel safe in New York City. Just in general. Because of just like all sorts of crazy stuff, you know, like because of Kung
Flu. Dude, people are getting. I just saw a video of somebody getting fucked up on the J train. Just a regular Asian guy. He kind of looked like you. He was shopping. She was like, he had like a shopping bag.
That's what I'm saying. And the other day I was outside and I was just hanging out and this dude comes up to me and he's a black dude and he's, you know, just like looks like he lives in the neighborhood and he's like, hey man, how's it going? You know, respect, man. He just gives me like a fist bump. Me and Gina. And he just leaves. And he just leaves. And I was like, oh,
that's,
hey man.
So nice.
Hey man, what's going on? He doesn't even stop to talk to us for a while. He's like, hey man, you know, respect, man. Here you go. And me and Gina were like, what was that about? And I was like, I don't know if it's that he saw two Asian people and was like, I know you guys have been going through a rough time. Here's a fist bump. I don't know if it was that. I don't know if it was because he just liked our outfits. I don't know if it was because it was just a beautiful day and he was just doing that to everybody.
Yeah.
But it made me feel safer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, what if everybody did that? You know, what if everybody was like, hey, man, you know, don't worry, man. You're good here. You're safe here, you know? How like nice would that would be? And I was thinking, like, what's the opposite of a hate crime? Is a love deed, okay? Now, I know that sounds like some weird sex move, okay? And that's very on brand for us, okay? Us and our anals, Asian, non-Asian listeners.
Hey, hey.
But like, hey, you know, racism is a meme, and I wonder if you can counter-meme it, you know, with a better meme, which is like...
Little judo.
little love deeds. And you know, shouts to that guy. And it's just something where... Something small like that, I think, can just make you feel like, okay, someone saw who I was. They looked me in the eyes. And, you know, and
I mean, he said respect. That's yeah. More than most white people have been giving you all this time. He said it. He said, I'm going to give you respect.
He gave me respect, and he gave me a little dab. So it was cool, man. And so, you know, think about doing that, you know?
Yeah, I think we often underestimate the power of the individual. Like, you know, that happened to you. And you're still talking about it. You probably thought about it this morning and jerked off, you know? Like, you've been thinking about it. You can't stop thinking about this guy.
Yeah, baby.
It's actually coming between you and Gina, you know?
Yes, it's actually a big, huge problem. It's a huge problem. I was like, why don't you ever treat me like that guy on the street? And give me respect.
Yeah. So you know, bringing it back to the beginning, like, hey, maybe, you know, you don't have the same reaction as everybody else, and it's not as... I don't want to use that word theatric, okay. but that's okay, you know? Like, everybody's allowed to feel the way they want to, but, like, maybe just talk to one guy, you know, if you're not Asian, or if you see a cool Asian couple and you're not Asian, just give us a little fist bump and tell us that you respect us, you know? Like, it could make a huge difference.
It was actually kind of nice that he didn't say anything about us being Asian, you know what I'm saying? I was like, it's cool. You don't have to do anything. Usually it makes it weirder if you're like, oh yeah, I've been to China, man. I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means. You actually made it worse.
Just be
nice, and that's a start, you know. So there you go,
and there you have it, folks. This has been an episode of Asian Not Asian. It's been a while since we've done like a raw one, but I feel
it's a good raw one.
And I know last week we released like a really goofy one talking about anime, but we recorded that like a long time ago. But it was a fire episode for sure. We hope you enjoyed it. Alex Babbitt's hilarious, but we just wanted to lay down our dicks. You know what I mean? Just like. I don't know if that's the right figure of speech, but just wanted to like let you know that this is also on our minds. And, you know, I know that our fans come from different backgrounds, not just ethnicity wise, but just like different. You're all weird. You're all weirdo Asian Americans. You know,
yeah.
I know some of you guys might be like marching in the street with a sign kind of Asian, but some of you guys might be just crying in your own bedroom. And you know, I know you're taking it differently. And we're here to let you know that however you feel is okay. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So,
man. Yeah, man.
Anyways. All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, we'll get back to the goofiness soon. I don't know. Is there any like, I don't know, should we do plugs? I have no idea.
We're not going to. I mean, you know where to find us.
You know where to find us. Check us out.
Yeah. Stay safe out there, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.